Now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding take pleasure in presenting the CBS Radio Network.
Bob, we've had about 12 applications for substitutes to you.
That's so?
And we're going to bring them up one by one, maybe this towards the end of this week. Well, this is getting towards the end of it now, sure. In the middle of it.
Halfway through.
Maybe next week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We could put them
maybe
on the air.
Maybe instead of having an old-timer next week, we could have some new talent.
I think that would be a good idea.
Because I shouldn't be working along with no fill-in available.
No, because that puts a mental burden on you that I don't have. Mm-hmm. I know that that Dennis Howard is always in the wings, ready to step out and fill in for me. You don't have that security.
Yeah. You want me to answer that, this?
All right, sure.
Hello, Bob and Ray Show. Long distance for Ray. Long distance for you, Ray.
All right. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Ray?
Yeah?
This is Kent Lyle Beardley, Ray.
Oh, hello, Kent.
I'm calling from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Gee, it sounds like you're just around the corner. It's as clear as a bell.
I guess Bob told you I reversed the charges, didn't he?
No, but that's all right. We don't mind.
Just wanted to let you know I got here safely.
Did you fly out, Kent? Or,
yes,
you
know? I did.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad to know that you're home safely. Say hello to the family, and we've had wonderful reaction to your week here with us. The mail has been very encouraging.
Say, I wonder if you could send me some transcriptions of the week I was on. I thought I might use them for audition purposes.
Well, I'm sure we could get something out. Do you want them? Do you want a tape or transcription? I guess you have the old
tape.
Type,
what's that?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get you a transcription.
33
and a third. Do you want a lateral or vertical cut, Kent?
Well, whatever's easier for you boys back there in New York.
Well, I have to check with
the say, Ray.
Yeah, Kent.
I want to thank you very much for the little donation you gave me, and to let you know, I'll send it back to you just as soon as is humanly possible.
Well, how are you making ends meet right now, Kent?
Well, so far I haven't gone over to the station yet. I'm going to chat with them over there. Take over the transcriptions as soon as they come in.
I see. Well, okay, we'll go to work on that and get them right out to you.
I met one of the fellers from the station just as soon as I got here, and he told me he thought my voice was a little bit too low for a radio, but he'd be glad to listen.
Gee, I don't think so. I think you have a nice...
Well, I said I'd had a cold, and that an announcer couldn't announce with a nasty cold.
No, no.
But that
look,
I'd like to audition.
Ken, I know that this is, you've got a lot to say, but it is a long distance.
Ray, I just want you to know that I appreciate all you fellas.
Alan, what else?
What did he say?
He's crazy.
I think it's time
Ray,
for
I
our...
just want you to know, he'd go on and on and on, you know. I think actually what he wants is plenty more fish immediately.
Yeah. I think it's time for our January award to
That's
the
right.
Good Neighbor of the Month. We have a particularly lovely lady.
Bob, you sounded just like Kent Lyle Beardley right then, a little bit, you know.
Who's 74 years young this coming month, and who hails from Upper Smash, Pennsylvania, and whose letter from a friend of hers was chosen, nominating her as the Good Neighbor. And I'd like to present the lady who's known as everybody's grandmother there in Upper Smash, Pennsylvania, Miss Matilda Springbach of Flendon. Miss Matilda, would you come in and tell us a little story? I'd like to call you Miss Matilda, if I may, because your last name is a little bit too long. Right into this microphone.
I am pleased to be here as the Good Neighbor Award winner for the month.
Of January.
Of January.
January, our first Good Neighbor Award winner of the year 1960. And would you tell us just what it was you did to earn the respect and the thanks of your neighbors there in Pennsylvania. Oh, Miss Matilda?
Oh, I'm sorry, I've dozed.
Yes.
Now, yes, well, I was sitting in my front room, looking out towards the neighbor's house, and it was a cold, blustery day, and I saw this big truck pull up in front of their house. I knew my neighbors had gone away for 2 weeks.
Well, they told you they were going away on a visit somewhere.
Gone away to visit.
More or less left you to look after their property for them.
No. No, no. They just told me they were going away. So I saw this big truck pull up and these two men forced the front door with a tool.
They were breaking into the house of your neighbor.
I would say that, yes.
And you immediately went to your telephone.
They started to bring out the radio sets and their furniture, and they were bringing out all these one things and another, and I thought this is a terrible thing to do, and I saw them come out with this wonderful paperweight that they had cherished.
In other words, they had removed practically all of the belongings from your neighbor's house. You had seen them do it, with some plan in mind, of course, to stop them, when you saw them come out of the house with a paperweight.
I went to the door and I called to them, "You! You!" I said, "Man! Man!" I said, "Please don't take that paperweight. They cherish it." I said, "I'll make you something hot to drink if you don't." And so they said, I said, "You couldn't get $2 for that." And
it meant more to them in memories than it did in financial value.
My neighbors, not to these men.
To the neighbors,
so
yes.
So the men said, "All right then, old lady. We won't take the paperweight, but you better make that good and hot when we come over." So I gave them a hot drink and macaroons.
And so you, being the good neighbor that you are, afforded the house robbers the chance to return the most cherished item of your neighbors, thus winning their thanks and their everlasting gratitude. Aunt Matilda Springbarker Flinton, what did the neighbors say when they got home?
"Thank you very much," they said, "for helping us save that paperweight."
Well, we want to thank you very much for coming here all the way from your home in Pennsylvania. We hope your stay has been pleasant. We want you to have this Bob and Ray orchid to wear for the remainder of your visit here in New York City.
Honestly, that little orchid.
And a certificate good for a pop-up toaster at discount rates at your nearest appliance store.
Well,
thank you very much, Aunt Matilda.
Pop-up toaster.
Good Neighbor Award winner for the month of January.
I can't even eat toast.
Dad.
Thank you very much. Say, isn't that Stuart Irwin coming through the swinging doors over there? Or is it? No, I guess not. No. All right. Say, why don't we give the stool? It is Stuart Irwin, but not right now, please. A little later.
Sure looks like him.
All right, well, sit down there. Say, why don't we give the CBS radio program department a treat right here, Bob?
Well, you mean like a preview of one of their upcoming shows?
Probably give them a big charge if we did. I know they're going to kick out of hearing the name on the air, CBS.
Total apathy, anyway.
Yeah.
This Sunday, friends, CBS Radio's Suspense. There's a real chiller-diller in store for you.
Oh, come on. Where do you get that chiller-diller?
Well, it's the name of the mystery. It's all about a psychiatrist who's trapped in a belfry with a whole bunch of bats.
Does that sound kind of, well, improbable to you folks?
Don't miss Suspense, one of CBS Radio's Sunday night lineup of top mystery and adventure dramas.
What's the show going to be about?
They didn't say. Didn't tell me.
Didn't say.
I think we're going out to the home of our Winter Olympics now, aren't we?
Just so. To Squaw Valley, that is, where things are currently underway. And to Wally Ballou, our broadcasting buddy. We hope he's sold this time. I mean, Artie Spermelhorn can get out and sell. I wonder if Wally's had any luck.
Well, one thing's sure. The Finley Quality Network isn't handling this. I checked on
it's
that
exclusive
this morning.
It's exclusive. With us. Okay, Wally Ballou, Come in, please, in Squaw Valley, California.
Nita Slalom, and now we're going to chat with Sven Ostersvay, who is here to take part in the men's distance ski jumping. Sven, have you tried out this ski jump, which is looks pretty fast today?
Well, it's all right. I don't know what I might try to go down on it there with the skis.
I saw you in the tryouts making a few trial runs down there.
Well, I was fall down. I was hurt there, my hip and my back. So I'm chicken now. I don't know as I go no more on that.
Well, once you start down the long slope there, there isn't much you can do, is there?
Twice the fame is the sore back. I don't need that.
What's that?
Lingonberries.
Yes. As I say, once you start down there, there's no way of turning back, is there? You have to keep going right through the thing.
No, you can't. Once you leave the top there, it's pretty much you got to go through with it because you are going down on the hill.
What do you think of when you leave the... Excuse me, go ahead.
You go ahead and ask me. I have difficulty listening to you. I don't know your language too good.
What do you think of when you come off that jump and you head into the thin air hundreds of feet above the crowd?
Well, I always think that I wish I had not left the top. That's the first thought I have. And then the next one is I hope I reach the bottom in the one piece. I should be there.
Uh-huh.
And then in the hospital, I always think about it. Again, about what I will do.
Well, we want to wish you all the luck in the world, and we'll be looking forward to seeing whether you can break the record and the ski jump, and we'll be right down there in back of the ambulance if you're looking for us.
I don't think I'll go. I'm too chicken on here.
And so this is Wally Ballou returning you now to New York.
So, before we get a call from somebody at the UN, that was one of the actors on the program doing a New England accent.
And I was right here.
You're not trying to say anybody was chicken out there at all.
Meet star Stuart Irwin.
Nothing's worse for an actor than a nasty cold. To feel better quickly, I take wonderful four-way cold tablets. The fast way to relieve cold distress.
Right. Tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains, headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
Take my advice. For your next cold, take four-way cold tablets, the fast way to relieve those cold miseries.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
Our program will continue in a moment after a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories.
To get rid of embarrassing dandruff in 3 minutes, change to Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair. Rub in 1 minute. Add water and lather 1 minute. Then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch and embarrassing dandruff's gone. At the same time, Fitch can brighten hair up to 35%. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today.
Ole Olehi, we only have about 30 seconds left. We didn't have a chance to talk much with you, but we'll try to arrange that tomorrow we can get to those memories you've been bringing back of old radio days.
Well, Bob, I've been racking my brain here during your program, and I think I can come up with some wonderful memories for your listening.
All right.
Your listeners.
Well, you'll be here right on time tomorrow, and we'll devote as much time as you need to your memories.
And we'll have a word of greetings for you in just 10 seconds. Now, would you give them a word of greetings, Bob?
Greetings.
Hey, not bad. Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Only 5 more days to the premiere of the new daytime Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney show on the CBS Radio Network.
And KCBS AM FM San Francisco.